Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers,
and from the law firm of Primer, Piper, Eggleston, and Kramer, providing comprehensive legal counsel to New Hampshire businesses and their owners for more than 30 years. For more information or to speak to an attorney, visit primer.com. And from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own-farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. Today, an Exchange listener favorite, our annual summer book show. We'll hear about the latest in fiction, nonfiction, history, mystery, and much more. And as always, all the books mentioned this hour by our guests and by you will be on our website later today, so you can go to nhpr.org/exchange. Right now, though, tell us what you're hoping to read this summer or what you're still looking for in that perfect summer book. Send us an email. It's exchange@nhpr.org. Post your thoughts on Facebook or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. And we are also on Facebook Live today, so you can listen and watch our show there. Our guests are Dan Chartrand. He's owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. Dan, it's great to see you. Welcome back.
It's great to be here, Laura.
Also with us, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. Michael, good to see you too. Thank you.
Morning.
And also with us, Liz Cipriano. She's general manager of Bookery Manchester. And Liz, a big welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Dan, I want to start with you, but hear from everybody. Just overall, when people come into your store, you know, it's after Memorial Day, summer's kicking off. Although the weather has yet to make it definitive.
No, it's summertime. It's summertime.
So they come in and they say, hey, Dan, you know, I really want that summer book. What do they mean? What are they after?
Well, first of all, we ask them the question, are you a fiction reader or a nonfiction reader? Because, you know, like people tend to sort in those two categories, although there's a lot of people that read both. And then once we get zeroed in on what type of book they like to read, we have all of our staff picks displayed very prominently at the front of the store, as well as independent bookstore picks from across the independent book channel in the country. We're very good at kind of cross-fertilizing our picks. So we've got all these books that are recent releases and longtime classics and maybe just more recent classics that we can recommend to these folks, and they're all written up by our staff. So these bookstores of ours are very highly curated, and we can zero in on just exactly what someone wants to read for the summer. And then they discover that that bookseller is their bookseller, and they come back over and over again, and they find books that they have in common with that person. So it's really that idea of independent bookstores building community with readers. And it's a community around the written word. It's a beautiful thing.
Michael, go ahead.
I think maybe in the summer, people are more prone to daydreaming, and they're looking for stories that'll just send them into the dream. They might be traveling. They might be going to the beach. They might be just taking a day off and enjoying themselves on their screened-in porch or on their deck, and they just want to daydream. So what they're looking for is really good stories, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. They're looking for something that takes them maybe out of themselves or connects them to a different world than they know already.
When people come in, Michael, in the summer, are they in general saying, help me out? Or are they saying, I heard about this awesome book, please help me find it on the shelf?
A lot of recommendations come through word of mouth, whether it's on social media or hearing about it on NPR or in a book club or through friends. So, a lot of it is driven by I heard about this book. Can you help me find it? And that's why, like our other guests here today, we have tables set up to display things that are, in the media, on NPR, in the zeitgeist,
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because if people want to see pictures of all the books that our booksellers brought in, it's a library in here today in the Exchange. We're also on Facebook Live, so you can check it out there. So, Liz, Bookery Manchester, first of all, are you even a year old yet? Maybe you haven't been through a summer season yet.
We just celebrated a year last month, so we have celebrated a summer. This is our second summer we're entering, and we're noticing two trends so far. People who are coming in looking for something easy to read but captivating, And then the reader who wants to, like, self-improvement, spend the summer reading something that will help them be a better person or figure out what they want to do in their life.
That's interesting. And those are the trends that I definitely noticed looking at all the lists yesterday, you know, Publishers Weekly, Washington Post, and so forth. And Dan, there does seem to be maybe a few more of that genre of improve yourself, be a better person, not improve yourself like, you know, lose weight or stop smoking, but be a more sort of moral grounded person.
Well, I think a lot of people, I have to interrupt myself. I just want to say how great it is that New Hampshire finally has a Main Street bookseller in Manchester.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I used to have the Chamber of Commerce approach me all the time. I'm sure Michael did as well. And
yep.
Just for it to be a homegrown store, it's like great to have you on that in that space.
We've heard
Liz.
A lot of feedback from the community, and everyone is so excited that we're here too. So We couldn't be happier about it.
And you're right on Elm Street, so it's not hard to find.
Yep.
It really fills in a missing piece of the independent bookseller tribe in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
so
it's fantastic that they're there because, I mean, they are, you know, native to Manchester. I mean, Dan or I could have gone in, but we would have been kind of carpetbaggers. Yeah. But, you know, it's part of the national trend for independent bookstores. Our entire channel is growing. I mean, it's still not the royal road to wealth for anybody, independent bookselling, but our channel is growing and becoming more and more vigorous and important.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The question was
absolutely worth noting.
The question was,
books I seem to notice more this summer than in years past on sort of the, as Liz put it, be a better person books for the summer. Self-improvement.
David
Brooks has one, which is a follow-up to his other one. That's on a lot of lists,
that's
for example.
True. The David Brooks book actually is a book that I put on my list. He just spoke at the commencement at UNH in Durham, and we sold so many copies of his book after that commencement speech. The book is called The Second Mountain, The Quest for a Moral Life, and I love David Brooks, both for his writing as well as his commenting on public television with Mark Shields on the NewsHour. I do get frustrated with him at times, but I also really admire him. He's a very humane voice for traditional American values, and he translates them into language that allows my generation, but also millennials and even younger, to kind of connect with those traditional American values. He humanizes them in a way that isn't done very well. And I really admire him for his ability to do that. So, yes, David Brooks is The Second Mountain, The Quest for a Moral Life would definitely be a book like that.
Yeah. What else, Michael, is on that sort of, again, be a more upstanding, grounded person?
Well, one thing that swept, it's a little off topic, but one thing that swept the book world a couple of months ago was advice from Marie Kondo to get rid of all the books on your bookshelves that don't spark joy, quote unquote. And that became a very entertaining controversy in our little corner of the world.
Well, and Kondo, KONDO, this is the decluttering guru.
Right.
I hear people quoting her all over the place.
Absolutely.
Does this plate bring you joy? No? Chuck it.
Yeah, she's definitely found ways to help people focus on what's important in their lives, but the idea of getting rid of books was sparked not joy, but a lot of controversy.
Well, and sometimes you find yourself, sorry, Marie Kondo, going back to those books that you thought you wouldn't reread.
It might spark joy tomorrow, Marie, you never know.
I actually love to zig where she says to zag, I love to take the books that I love that spark joy in me, and I love to give them to people.
Sure.
Those are the ones I want to move on.
That's an acceptable solution.
Yeah. So, Liz, what's one book that you can't wait to read this summer when you have some free time?
I started City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert, but haven't gotten around to finishing it yet, so I'm excited to finish that. I think it is on Michael's list.
Yes.
Yes.
And Elizabeth Gilbert, she's of Eat, Pray, Love fame, so, right?
Yes.
So give us a little more on City of Girls, just a tantalizer there.
So it's about a young woman who goes to, I think it's New York City,
yep.
And lives with this cast of characters that are in, like, show business. And she's just observing their crazy world, and I haven't finished it, so don't know what happens, but I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, and I think it starts right where the woman is 95, and then she's remembering back to her time in the 1940s.
That's right.
In New York City, is that correct?
Okay. That is right. She flunks out of Vassar at the age of something like 19, and because she didn't go to class, you know. Okay. Surprise. And, you know, and she gets, as you say, with this very eccentric cast of characters and gets swept up in a different world that's much more sophisticated than the one she's used to. And it reads first as a comedy, but it's really, underneath it, it's kind of a serious commentary in a way about race, class, and, gay rights, but also champagne and satin and lace and things like that.
Well, and again, since you mentioned Michael's list, Liz, I want to let listeners know, again, all the lists from Michael and Dan and Liz are on our website. Their top picks for the summer in fiction and nonfiction. It's nhpr.org/exchange. So those lists and any books that come up in our conversation today will be put there a little bit later. It takes us a little while to get it together, but it will be there for you at nhpr.org/exchange. Dan Chartrand, how about you? What's one book you can't wait to read this summer?
Well, City of Girls is the book that is selling in
really?
Our store right
okay.
now. Yeah, Steph, our store manager, read it, and she describes it as this young woman is sent to New York City by her parents to live with her aunt, and she says, so she goes a little wild. Okay, a lot wild. Mistakes are made. And then all caps, mistakes are made. She has to live with the consequences, but what could have been tragedy has turned into a beautiful life. And then Steph says, ugh, that sounds cheesy, but just trust me, this is a great book. So that is kind of the book of the moment in the independent channel.
Yeah.
What else, Michael, is on the top of your personal list?
Well, it's funny because yesterday at this time I would have said I really need to get around to Recursion by Blake Crouch. And then last night when I was supposed to be studying up for this show, I opened Recursion by Blake Crouch. And at 2 in the morning, I put it down, having finished it.
No,
and I
really?
Hadn't studied for
wow.
this show, and I'm tired.
That's okay. We'll bring you
but
some
you
coffee
seem
at
so
the break.
Perky.
It's a thank you, Dan. It's a great page turner.
Okay, that's a recommendation.
It's, it's science fiction. It's like if Philip K. Dick had a hip nephew who was working today, this is the book that he would write. It's all about, memory and whether, this young inventor is trying to solve the problem of Alzheimer's and dementia. And she invents what's called a memory chair, which allows people to reconstruct and implant their own memories. And but what happens is it's used for nefarious intent. And it creates all kinds of problems. And most of the book is a race against the clock to try to escape pretty much the apocalypse. It's
wow.
No wonder
you were up till 2 in the morning.
Right? I had to see whether it was going to be the apocalypse or not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you.
Technology gone awry. We've never heard of that
pretty
before.
Much.
Go ahead, Liz.
I read this also, and I'm not usually a mystery thriller or sci-fi person, but I really enjoyed it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, our listeners are also weighing in with their favorites, their picks for the summer. You can join us on Facebook. It's NHPR Exchange. Or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. A couple Facebook comments. Margaret says, for the rock and rollers out there, here are 3 memoirs that are totally enjoyable audiobooks. Margaret says, even the non-rock and rollers might be surprised at how much they enjoy the quality of writing, narrative, and performance. Bruce Springsteen's Chrissy Hynde's and John Doe and Friends. That last one, she says, is called Under the Big Black Sun. And each writer reads their own chapter, so it is especially good as an audiobook. Margaret, thank you so much. Liz, what about audiobooks? A lot of us go on long car rides for summer vacation, and, after a while, you need something to entertain your ears.
That's actually how I read Recursion. I listened to the audiobook of it.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it because it has multiple narrators, and it kind of keeps pace that way.
Yeah. Is there another one that you recommend on audiobook, Liz?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll throw it to Dan.
The Elizabeth Gilbert book is an excellent audiobook. Several of our staff have listened to it.
The one we just talked about.
The City of Girls.
City of Girls.
By Elizabeth Gilbert.
Okay.
Does she read it herself, Dan?
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, a lot of the time when people read their own books, it's kind of a crapshoot because you don't know if they're any good at reading them or not, but some of them are very good at it. I'm still always surprised when we sell these very, sometimes they're expensive books on CD. Used to call them books on tape. Now they're books on CD. But they run the gamut in price. And it's still tremendously popular because people still want to listen to them in the car or wherever. And there's also a new online version of the audiobooks called Libro FM that we're promoting that's doing very well for the independent bookstores.
Okay. Well, Margaret, thank you very much. Garrett in Londonderry says, I recently read and loved Say Nothing about the Troubles in Northern Ireland and a decades-old unsolved murder, well-researched and beautifully written. So that's a recommendation from Garrett in Londonderry. Thank you, Garrett. Jane in Manchester says, I'd like to recommend a writer who studied under Charlie Simic at UNH and was also an NPR journalist. His name is Chris Foran. That's spelled F-O-R-H-A-N in case people are taking notes. And he wrote an extraordinary memoir of his early life and father. The book is called My Father Before Me. It deserves more praise than it's gotten. Jane, thank you for that recommendation. Again, we're taking your recommendations online on Facebook. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also give us a call at 1-800-892-6477. You know, since Jane mentioned an author and author who studied under Charlie Simic at UNH, New Hampshire authors are a specialty of local booksellers, so I'd love to hear what everybody has under authors from right here in the Granite State. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I think Charlie Simic must be a great teacher because another student of his, Jennifer Militello, is a very good poet, and she's publishing a memoir called Knock Wood at the end of July, which I think is going to be great. I just got an advanced copy of it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Because you were up late
because I was reading
that
Recursion.
Book.
Yes, exactly.
And Charlie Simic, for people who don't know, is a very famous poet.
Yes, yes, he sure is. He's great.
Are there New Hampshire authors that you've got going, Michael, in your store this summer?
There's a lot of, there's a lot of young adult books that are being written by New Hampshire authors. There's David Elliott, who lives in Warner. He's written a couple of novels for young adults in verse, which sounds crazy, but they really work and they're very popular. He wrote The Story of the Minotaur in a book called Bull. And he's written the story of Joan of Arc in a newer book called Voices. And
wow.
These are really great books. And there's an author at St. Paul's School named Virginia McGregor who's just published a book called As Far as the Stars that is very popular for young adults.
Yeah, how about you, Dan? New Hampshire authors.
So many. We just hosted last week Jed Coffin, who teaches at UNH, and he's written a brilliant memoir called Rough House Friday about his time wrestling with his familial demons. He went to Southeast Alaska. He actually became part of a Friday night boxing club, amateur boxing club in Southeast Alaska, thus the Rough House Friday. And he's kind of wrestling with his family demons as he's climbing the ladder of this amateur boxing society in Alaska.
Wow, so wrestling with physical, in terms of the physical sense and mental sense.
It's a beautiful memoir. And Jed teaches in the English department at UNH and lives in South Berwick, Maine. That's great. Speaking of YA, we have a local author, Lisa Bunker, who's also a rep in the House in Concord. She represents us in the House. She's one of four reps from Exeter. She has a new book out called Zenobia July, and it's the story of a young woman who is trans but identifies as a woman, and she's going through high school. Brilliant, brilliant book. Lisa's very important both on the political scene and on New Hampshire's literary scene. And finally, there's a woman who lives in Dover named Linnea Hartsicker, and she has basically taken the old Icelandic Viking sagas, and she's made them into novels. She's kind of naturalized them so they're not so stilted. And these are brilliant books about the Viking life in the late 900s.
It's
brilliant historical novels by a woman who moved to Dover from Massachusetts, and a great writer. And the third book in the trilogy is coming out this fall. And the first two books are The Half-Drowned King and The Sea Queen.
Okay, and again, all these books will be on our website. Later today, we'll get the books that are mentioned during the hour, like the people who just contacted us on Facebook. We'll also get any book mentioned by our guests and their lists of top reads for summer 2019. And Liz, after a break, I'll get your New Hampshire authors as well. And we'll keep taking your questions and comments. Stay with us. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest and You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options.
information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's our annual Summer Book Show. Tell us what's on your reading list, or if you need some advice, our guests are here with their picks. Also, any book mentioned on the show will be on our website later today, nhpr.org/exchange. So check it out later on. You can give us a call right now. It's 1-800-892-6477. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And we're also on Facebook Live today. Our guests are Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, and Liz Cipriano, general manager of Bookery Manchester. And Liz, just before the breaks, we were talking about New Hampshire authors, so I'd love to know what's popular among authors from the good old Granite State in your store.
We have an exciting local author partnership coming up. We're doing One Book, One Manchester this year for Gloria Norris's Cuckoo Land. It's a memoir of her growing up in the 70s on the west side of Manchester.
Oh, wow.
Dealing with opioid problems, abuse, and all that. So she is, I think she's coming to Manchester to speak in September. So we're really excited about that, to have her back.
And just remind listeners what those programs are all about. They're pretty well established in Concord and a couple other cities, but go ahead.
They are. It's where a city or a town selects a title to read together as a community, talk about it, discuss it. Usually it has some topics in there that are worth discussing on a broader scale with different opinions and backgrounds.
Does Exeter have a one book program, Dan? I know Concord does.
Yeah, often these programs are done in conjunction with the local independent bookstore and the local library system. So we work very closely with Exeter Public Library to do kind of a book that we've done nonfiction books that have an issue that we want to work on as a community. I love the idea of taking a memoir like Liz's store has done and coming at the issue a little more indirectly. So I'm making notes right now.
With someone from Manchester. So that's really interesting.
That's a great book.
Yeah. Oh, have you read it?
I have. That was one of the, actually, I stayed up all night reading that before one of these shows too, a couple of years ago.
I sense a fantastic trend, Michael.
yeah, that's true.
Well, and I think one year Concord's program did, right, Michael, The Last Policeman, which was written.
Ben Winters.
Yeah. Takes place in Concord.
Takes place in Concord, and he has family here. So it was great for local detail, local color.
Yeah, and that got national play. I mean, I heard that everywhere. All right. Well, that's great. And good luck with that program. I hope that works out. Our listeners are jumping in again with their questions and comments and favorites for summer reading. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to call. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. And let's go to Julie in Exeter, your hometown, Dan. Go ahead, Julie. You're on the air. Welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to do a plug for a local author from Brentwood, who I saw speak at Water Street Books several years ago. He wrote a book called Old Man on a Bicycle, which I think is a great summer read, but also especially good for cyclists. He recounts his bike ride across the U.S. at the age of 72 and the way that aging affects exercise. And his name is Donald Pedersen. I just think that's a really great book to read, but also a quick read for the summer.
Wow. Sounds great. Thank you, Julie, for the recommendation. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Dan, since he was at your store?
Don's an amazing man. He was actually a diplomat in the Horn of Africa.
Wow.
And then he and his wife and his family resettled to the seacoast. He served in the House as well. He was a representative from Brentwood. But he took this cross-country bicycle ride at the age of 72, as Julie said, and he wrote a wonderful self-published memoir about that journey.
All right. Well, more recommendations from our listeners. Eileen sent us a note. Love this program. Just rediscovered the book Forever by Pete Hamill. His writing is always beautifully written, lyrical, with a mixture of the magical and historically accurate. Eileen says this book has it all. And even though I had read it before, I couldn't put it down. It's the kind of book that I was sad to finish. Eileen, I know how that feels. You know, since she mentioned historically accurate, You guys know, and Liz, just to let you know, I'm a huge fan of historical fiction. That's my favorite genre, and I wonder if anybody wants to jump in with any historical fiction that they have at their stores, and I'll come buy it, promise.
Well,
Michael?
Yeah, there's a new book called The Guest Book by Sarah Blake. It's an intergenerational novel about race and privilege and wealth and the loss of wealth. And, you know, it's one of those books where, so it covers several generations, and you can tell from the first page you're in the hands of an excellent writer. You know that feeling?
Yes.
We just say, oh, good. You know, it's like, this book won't let me down, you know, and it doesn't. So that's a great historical novel.
Give us the name
novel.
Again, please, Michael.
The Guest Book by
okay.
Sarah Blake.
Okay. And other fiction that you love, Liz, historical or not?
I have two historical fiction picks on my list. Cape May by Chip Creek.
That's on a lot of lists this summer.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a really good read. A young couple in the 1950s, young newlywed, goes to honeymoon off season in Long Island, and they meet some loud and lavish friends that end up changing. It has repercussions on their marriage that they just never expected to have.
Wow.
So it's a really good, interesting read, historical fiction.
And that's Cape May again.
Yes.
And I think that's on two of you folks' lists. That's on the Bookeries list and I think on somebody else's list. On your list.
We share that title with the Bookery. We also share a title that just released on Tuesday called Evie Drake Starts Over. It's another book that's set in Maine, like the guest book. Sort of this woman, Evie, rarely leaves her house. Everyone assumes it's about her mourning the death of her husband, but that's not really the story. But she's keeping her story to herself like a good New Englander and a good Mainer. And then this guy who's got the yips, this baseball player, he can't throw straight. Yeah, which is a thing.
Yeah.
Baseball players lose the ability to throw straight. They kind of gets in their head.
Yeah, Chuck Knobloch
Chuck Knobloch. Yeah. There was another, I can't remember his name. Yeah. Anyway, that happens. This guy, this baseball player, comes north, rents a room from Evie in her house, and they connect in a way that's totally unexpected, the professional baseball player and this shut-in widow. And it's just a wonderful book that no one has read yet because it just released yesterday. So that's a great summer read. Evie Drake starts Over by Linda Holmes.
Other fiction you want to mention, Liz?
One book I really enjoyed, The Saturday Night Ghost Club by Craig Davidson. It comes out in July, so it's not quite out yet, but it's so heartwarming. It's a coming-of-age story. A young boy, I think he's 12, and it taps into nostalgia. It takes place in the 80s around Niagara Falls, and it's such a comfortable read. It just brings you back to childhood and what it's like growing up and believing in ghost stories and just having those nights where you're riding your bike down the street with all your friends. And I just loved it.
Oh, that sounds great. All right, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, well, speaking of historical fiction, here's one that's been on the bestseller list for almost a year, and I can't believe it's still at the top of the list. I can't believe people are still discovering it, but they are. So if you're listening and you haven't read Where the Crawdads Sing, go out and get it. It's by a woman who was formerly just known as an award-winning nature writer, and she took her, you know, she tried her hand at fiction and wrote an instant bestseller that was promoted by Reese Witherspoon and has been at the top of the list forever. It's set in coastal North Carolina, and a young woman who basically lives on her own, kind of wild out in the marshes, is accused of murdering the local Lothario, and it's in the middle of a murder mystery and all of that. It's a great evocation of the natural world in this really desolate landscape in North Carolina that I really enjoyed. Right. It's set in the 50s and 60s.
Let's take another call. This is Reeve in Wolfboro. Hi, Reeve. You're on The Exchange. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hi. I have two books to recommend, and I will talk really fast because I want so many other books recommended. They're both nonfiction. The first one I'm going to recommend is On the Universal Basic Income. It's by Andrew Yang. The title is The War on Normal People. And Yang is running for president. I think he sounds great, but I had no idea that people from Milton Friedman to Thomas Paine have been recommending a universal basic income. And in this book, Yang makes the recommendation that everybody, that we're more in need of this than ever before. So I found that incredibly informative. The second book is called Charged, by CHARGED, Charged by Emily Bazelon. And I had no idea until I read this book how horrifyingly powerful prosecutors, district attorneys are. And we have the power to help change the prison system more than I knew, each individual, by discovering what their own prosecutors in their hometowns believe and voting differently.
So, Reeve, you're in the mood for political books this summer, it sounds like.
I suppose we have to be and enjoy it here in New Hampshire.
Well, I really appreciate the call because we should talk about this. It is a big, big political year in New Hampshire with the primary heating up. So, Michael, if every presidential candidate on the Democratic side wrote a book, you could fill a whole shelf because there's a lot of candidates.
A lot of them have.
But what about those?
Kamala Harris has a memoir. Mayor Pete Buttigieg, sorry for mangling the name there, has a book that's been on the bestseller list for a while.
And you've been hosting a lot of these candidates at your store.
We've had them come through, yeah, as other bookstores have, because they like coming to public spaces and being surrounded by books, elevates the tone.
Good backdrop for them. Yeah. Liz, political books, are you guys into selling these or are you leaving that up to someone else?
Yeah, just like Michael, we've had a lot of candidates come through our store as well. Marianne Williamson, Andrew Yang was here last fall. So we've had a lot of them as well.
Dan?
Yeah, we've hosted Senator Booker. We've also hosted Marianne Williamson and I think Kristen Gillibrand stopped by briefly one Saturday morning just to kind of check out who was buying books, which was great. It's a wonderful part of the landscape of New Hampshire,
sure,
and independent bookstores are definitely kind of in sync with what's happening on the political scene. There's a long tradition.
All right. Well, Reeve, thank you very much for bringing that up because that is something that we should talk about. Here's an email from Stephen in Dover, and I'm going to throw this to everybody. Stephen says, my wife prefers fiction and I prefer nonfiction. With that in mind, any suggestions on a book we can read together? Ooh. Stephen, awesome question.
Great question.
I'm going to stump the panel here.
I have it.
Dan? Oh, Dan's got it. Okay.
It's on Michael's list.
I was reaching for it too.
The two of you need to form a little book club. And you need to read the new book, Furious Hours, Murder, Fraud, and the Last Trial of Harper Lee by Casey Sepp.
Furious Hours.
Yep.
Furious Hours. And now I'm going to flip it over to Michael to tell you what it's about.
Well, it's about it's a mystery concerning Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird and never wrote another book. And there were rumors flying around for decades that she was working on a book. It was about to be published. It was in her drawer. It was in a vault. It wasn't written yet. It was written. It's coming. It's not coming. It was about apparently she was working for decades on a story about a serial killer in the South who was then murdered in front of like hundreds of people at a funeral, and who then and whose own murderer was declared innocent despite hundreds of eyewitnesses.
Wow, have I not heard of this?
Well, you got to read Furious Hours. It's a great, great story, and it's all about, you know, her life after To Kill a Mockingbird, just where she was and, you know, what she was doing in New York, her friendship with Truman Capote. Here's one thing about the book that I really didn't understand until I read it. I mean, all these years People have been floating the idea that Truman Capote really helped her with To Kill a Mockingbird because she had never written another book, and here he is, a famous writer, her best friend from childhood. Whereas in reality, it was the other way around. She helped him with In Cold Blood. She traveled to Kansas with him and interviewed all these people who never in a million years would have talked to a guy like Truman Capote in Kansas in like 1964 or 5, but they would talk to somebody like Harper Lee, who was very prim and proper. And so she really shaped In Cold Blood. So that's just part of it. It's a lot of wonderful stories all rolled up into one book.
Wow. Yeah. There you have it.
Yeah, it's great.
One for the fiction and the nonfiction.
Yeah,
we think so.
People
we do.
In your life. Liz, you've got a nonfiction book on your list that was on a lot of the lists that I looked at, too. Save Me the Plums. So could that maybe satisfy the fiction and the nonfiction couple that we just heard from?
It might. I think it's on Michael's list as well.
Yeah.
I've been on a huge kick reading about the food industry and restaurants, and it just fascinates me. It's its own world in itself. So after I read Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain and Sweet Bitter, I think this just fell right in that category. It's about Ruth Rachel and becoming the editor-in-chief of Gourmet Magazine, and it's how it changed under her control, but then ultimately with the age of the internet, how it just ended.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, and we have a lot of listeners who would classify themselves as foodies, so they might really enjoy that. And Anthony Bourdain also, you know, tragically died last year. This year, people celebrated or observed Anthony Bourdain Day. I had a friend who got together with some other friends and made a bunch of his food. So I'm guessing his books are selling well.
They did, unfortunately. You know, I mean, they spiked, after he passed away, and they continue to sell very well. It was such a tragedy that he passed away so young. Ruth Reichel's book is on my list. I read it. You can read it in a couple of days. It's really well written, but it moves really fast. And she took basically a magazine that had become stuffy. It wasn't the great magazine she remembered from when she was a child, and she turned it into sort of a cutting edge magazine that was yet a glossy magazine published by Condé Nast. So there was a real it was really very interesting. She published David Foster Wallace's famous essay, Consider the Lobster, which was very controversial at the time. I read an interview with her a couple of days ago where she said that people are still mad about what she did to Gourmet. Like 20 years later, they wrote the book, they read the book, and they were writing in, they're putting comments on websites about, how she drove Gourmet into the ground, which wasn't what happened. I mean, advertising, dried up after the recession hit in 2008.
Sure, upheaval in the publishing industry
terrible.
In general.
Yeah, it was terrible,
especially for cooking magazines where a lot of people look up their recipes online and so
forth.
But
she's a great writer. She's a great food writer, and she's a great memoirist.
Yeah. All right. Well, Stephen, there you go. I hope that satisfies and that you and your wife, as somebody said, can form a little book club of two and find fiction and nonfiction that satisfies. Sheila from Concord writes, I recommend The Leavers by Lisa Coe. That's spelled K-O. An award-winning novel with a different take on the experience of an undocumented worker and her American-born child. Thank you, Sheila. Linda on Facebook says, if you grew up with Harry Potter, don't miss Sarah Gailey's Magic for Liars, a great read that turns the magical boarding school trope on its head. Its noir vibe and clever, snappy, and surprisingly introspective writing sweep you into a twisty mystery with a satisfying conclusion. Very highly recommended. Linda, that sounds great. I have to pick that up for the young adult readers in my household. So thank you, Linda. Jennifer from Piermont says, To Have and to Hold, Motherhood, Marriage, and the Modern Dilemma by Molly Millwood. Jennifer says, a must read for any mom, new or old. So Jennifer, thank you for that one. I want to remind everybody that all the books mentioned by our listeners, by our guests, will be on our website a little bit later today, nhpr.org/exchange. So coming up, I'm going to ask all of you about young adult, what you've got there, kids' books, people always want their kids to read over the summer, and there's a couple more books that I want to definitely ask all of you about, including a baseball book that you have, Michael. All that's coming up. Stay with us. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Annie Ropeek, environmental reporter here at NHPR, reminding you that your fellow Granite Staters depend on NHPR as much as you do. Teachers and truckers, painters and politicians, grads and grannies, they turn to NHPR for the same reasons you do. News you can trust and journalism that is fiercely independent. Your gift, combined with those of your friends and neighbors, is the energy that keeps NHPR strong. Give now at nhpr.org.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, what to read this summer. We're hearing our guests' recommendations and those of our listeners. It's our summer book show, the 2019 edition. As always, any book mentioned on the show will be on our website later today, nhpr.org/exchange, as well as the picks from our guests, their top books for summer 2019 in fiction and nonfiction. We're talking with Liz Cipriano, general manager of Bookery Manchester, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, and Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And we've mentioned a couple young adult titles already this hour, but Dan, I wonder if you have anything else that you want to make sure gets out there.
Yeah, I have a great crossover book. The author Ted Chiang, who wrote a collection of stories called The Stories of Your Life and Others, which was one of those stories was the basis for the Academy Award-nominated film Arrival, which was this amazing film. I actually saw the film before I read the story, and then I read that story, and then I read all the stories in that collection. He has a new book. It's called Exhalation. It's stories by Ted Chiang, C-H-I-A-N-G. And this book is just amazing. I've read it, but Alice, who works in my store, is the main evangelist for this book. And she just says, I've once heard modern art described as something you often say, I could have done that, but crucially, you didn't. I feel like I could have written any of Chiang's stories, but I didn't. Perhaps that's for the best, because Chiang is an extremely thorough person. He takes these concepts that are kind of sci-fi concepts, but then he naturalizes them and makes them full of wonder at the same time. It's a perfect book for a younger or an older young adult person. It's what we call a kind of an adult-young adult crossover. So I can't recommend highly enough Exhalation Stories by Ted Chiang for an older young adult reader.
Anything else in the kids category or young adult category, Liz?
For kids, one of my favorite books, it's new in paperback this year. It's called Pax by Sarah Pennypacker. It's about a young boy who raises a baby fox, and at some point he has to let him go back in the woods. And it's just the bond that this boy and animal has, similar to a pet dog, and his struggle to get back to the fox and find him. And it's really sweet.
Is it a book for younger kids with pictures?
It is.
And
I would
so
say
forth?
Middle grade, yeah. Like 8 to 12
okay.
years old.
All right. Let's go back to our listeners. And Amy's calling in from Enfield. Hi, Amy. You're on the air. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Go ahead.
So really quickly, the listener who was looking for a book that he and his wife would both enjoy, he likes nonfiction and she likes fiction, that's my husband and I. And we really like to read Malcolm Gladwell books. Really any of them, like Outliers. It's pop science, basically. So it is nonfiction, but he writes in a way where it really captures your interest and it's story-based, really. So I recommend any Malcolm Gladwell book for that couple. But I wanted to also recommend a book. I don't think it's very well known. I don't know the author. I don't know that the author is really well known. The author is Roman Blair. And the book is The Island of Echoes. It's actually free on Kindle Unlimited. I just sort of stumbled across it. And it is fiction, and it's sort of historical fiction / sci-fi. But it really surprised me in how much it resonates with sort of the social climate today. People talking about sort of change for the better and, you know, accepting people for who they are. And
well, Amy, thank you. And I'm glad that she mentioned Malcolm Gladwell's books, because I don't think he has a big one this year. But Dan, he's often been a big seller here in New Hampshire. And Michael, go ahead.
He has a new one coming out.
He does. OK.
I was just getting on my phone trying to figure out the title. It's about how people don't understand each other. They talk past each other. And there's some neuroscience and social science behind all that. And it's very timely.
It's coming out this fall.
Right. Okay. Yep. Amy, thank you so much. Patrick says, in our present political setting, I would recommend The Stony Road by Lewis Henry Bates Jr., a look back at the ugliness of racism still with us. Patrick, thank you. Linda on Facebook says, oh, I already read that one. That's if you grew up with Harry Potter, you'll love Sarah Gailey. Linda, thank you again for that one. Go ahead.
The Stony Road's a great book of history about Reconstruction by the Harvard professor Skip Gates. Brilliant book, and it was a tie-in to a public television documentary. There's so much history that comes out right at this time of year because of Father's Day and graduation. Rick Atkinson's first volume in the trilogy about the American Revolution is out, The British Are Coming, and it covers 1775 to 1777. There'll be two more after this, and Rick is the one. He's a great military historian who just a few years ago finished a trilogy about the U.S. Army and the European theater in World War II. equally wonderful.
Wow. Go ahead, Michael.
Speaking of history and speaking of people who passed away and left us too young, Tony Horowitz just published a new book, and he just died at the end of May. It's a new book called Spying on the South, an odyssey across the American South and the American divide. And what he's doing is he's following in the footsteps of Frederick Law Olmsted, who's known primarily today as the designer of Central Park in Manhattan, but who was known mostly in the 19th century as a journalist who went undercover and wrote about, you know, what was going on in the South in like the 1850s, right before the Civil War. And so Tony Horowitz followed in his footsteps and has written a great, it's a work of history, it's a memoir, it's a travelogue, and it's an examination of the issues that have continued to plague us since the Civil War.
Wow.
And he wrote Confederates in the Attic 20 years ago, which was about, you know, how we never really resolved those issues in the way that, you know, say Germany or South Africa had, you know, sort of came to a truth and reconciliation moment where, you know, where they healed their countries. And we have never done it. And Tony Horowitz's last book is getting to the bottom of that, following in the footsteps of his famous predecessor.
Give us the title again, Michael, in case Stephen is listening, because that sounds also good for the nonfiction and the fiction
crowd.
It's
called Spying on the South, An Odyssey Across the American Divide.
Okay. Well, hefty topics also for the summer. So it isn't all just escapist beach reading, although personally, that's what I like to do in the summer, but clearly other people have other ideas for the summer, and that's fantastic. Sarah says, with all the current abortion debates right now, it's incredibly interesting to learn how Planned Parenthood got started. Terrible Virtue by Ellen Feldman is fascinating. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood's founder, was one of 11 children in an Irish Catholic family who watched her mother die because of her many pregnancies. There's actually a lot of sex in the book, Sarah says. FYI, quick read and so interesting. Sarah, thank you so much. Emily says, I can't recommend enough Ivan Doig's book, The Last Bus to Wisdom, the story of a young boy who lives with his grandmother who is sent by bus to live with an aunt or cousin he's never met in Wisconsin. The writing is great. The storyline is wonderful. And it's a feel-good book. Emily, thank you very much for that. So, weighty topics, what do you have that's fun, Liz?
I could not stop laughing about this book, Hollow Kingdom, by Kira Jane Buxton. It's narrated by a domesticated pet crow, and he...
A domesticated pet yes. crow. They don't seem like brilliant pets. Well, they seem very independent.
Exactly. So everything he's ever learned about the world, he's learned from watching TV. And all of a sudden, there's this apocalypse, and his human cannot take care of him anymore. So he and his friend dog, Dennis, they bust out of the house and try to figure out what's going on in the world. And it's just so funny. I couldn't stop laughing.
That sounds great. Give us the name again.
That sounds great. What is it?
Hollow Kingdom by Kira Jane Buxton.
Wow. Nice. Michael can stay up till 2 in the morning reading that one.
Never again, Laura. Never again.
No, it's great. It's a measure of how engaging a book is that you stay up until 2 in the morning reading it. Yeah. Michael, you've got a hefty tome right in front of you. Tell us what that is.
Oh, you're talking about this one?
The Mueller Report.
Oh, well, you know.
Bright red cover.
I debated whether to put it on the list or not because we didn't want to be political. But honestly, it is the best thriller of the year. And it's going to be back in the news because Mueller's going to be testifying in front of Congress next month. And so it's a fascinating read, no matter where you fall on the political divide. You know, it's got drama. It's got strange characters. It's got intrigue, and it's got a lot of redactions. You know, it's just a fascinating read. There's a couple of good editions out, one from Melville House, which is the one I have here, and one that was put together by the Washington Post with commentary from their writers. And I didn't want to do political books, but I couldn't think of a better thriller.
Well, that's interesting. So a publishing house at least felt like enough people would just want to read this thing in paper form,
reading
not look at it online.
Reading a 400-page PDF online is not easy.
Sure, so you pull it out when you've got time and so forth. Interesting. Yeah. It's a fat one, but in paperback, so it's not too heavy. Go ahead, Dan.
Three different publishers actually published
the Sky
Horse
as well.
Three different editions.
That is correct.
I'm going to switch to David McCullough's book, The Pioneers, because someone mentioned Wisconsin, and Wisconsin
he's an
was
amazing
in the old
historian.
Northwest Territory. Yeah. David McCullough has written this great book called The Pioneers, the heroic story of the settlers who brought the American ideal west. The original west was the Northwest Territory, which was the territory north and west of the Ohio River. So that included those incredible states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio, which is kind of the pivot point for our politics right now, if you think about it. And what McCullough does is he talks about the New England, what would now be congregational ministers, so the descendants of the Puritan, the Congregationalists, how they were really the pioneers that insisted the Northwest Territory be opened up to the public and settled, not given to one sort of individual or corporations. And it's just this amazing, fine-grained, detailed story of how the Northwest Territory was settled. So
right.
David McCullough is our historian of
David
the past
McCullough
50
never,
years.
Never disappoints.
It's true.
Susan sent us a recommendation. She says, I am 3/4 of the way through The Flight Attendant by another favorite New England author, Chris Bohalian. It's great fiction, woman with a drinking problem and poor judgment, but basically a good person, caught up in a murder, international intrigue with modern geopolitical issues. Wow. Susan. Okay. And thank you so much. That sounds great. And again, Chris Bohalian is often on the top of the lists
sure
for local
is.
Booksellers.
Yep.
Denise says, I'm the children's librarian at Rye Elementary. If you long for a charming children's chapter book for grades 3 and up with a magical air and a profound, sad, but hope-filled ending, Wicked Nix, and that's N-I-X, by Lena Coakley will enchant you and warm your heart. Denise, thank you very much. It's great to hear from a children's librarian. Casey suggests Witches, that's spelled with a Y, not an I. Witches by Scott Snyder is a graphic novel that takes place in the woods of Litchfield, New Hampshire. It is so good for those into graphic novel horror stories. Cassie, thank you very much for that recommendation. We haven't talked about graphic novels. How well are those selling at your stores? Liz?
We are seeing a boost in those sales, of course, especially for middle grade. I feel like it's a good entry for kids who don't really want to tackle a huge book. They can still get their reading in, but it's a little easier and lighter.
For reluctant readers,
right.
so
and it
to
can
speak.
Bring up,
yeah.
It can bring up bigger subjects in an easier-to-digest format, too.
And I read something just this morning. Someone wrote, if you're afraid that graphic novels is quote-unquote lazy reading, fear not. Some evidence that connecting the pictures with the words, you know, engages the brain in a different way. I know you're a fan of graphic novels, Dan.
Yeah, I was turned on to graphic novels back in the late 90s by a librarian who said that graphic novels and comic books are the gateway drug to reading.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are really good. I mean, I read them. I don't read them heavily, but you know, we have an event with Marek Bennett, a graphic novelist who's written about the Civil War tonight, actually. And, you know, it's you're able to cover, you know, important topics in a format that that younger readers can handle.
All right. Well, keep those recommendations coming. Again, any book that we discuss during the hour that comes up will be on our website later today, nhpr.org/exchange. You can send in your recommendations on Facebook, and we're on Facebook Live today as well, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Sarah in Concord, while we're talking about younger readers, Sarah in Concord says, my 10-year-old daughter and I just read The War That Saved My Life and The War I Finally Won, by Kimberly Brubaker Bradley about World War II. They were sad, happy, fabulous, and informative. Highly recommend. Sarah, thank you so much. You know, we only have a couple minutes left. Is there any other book, Liz, that you feel, as Sarah says, you would highly recommend?
Well, I would read anything written by Matt Haig. How to Stop Time is new out in paperback as of, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. The first book I read of his, The Humans, was in 2013, and I just love his writing style. I mean, right on the cover of the paperback, How to Stop Time, Kristen Hanna says, a great summer read. So this is a great paperback, stick in your beach bag. It's about a man who doesn't necessarily time travel, but he just ages very slowly, and he falls in love with a woman. So that's his version of being stuck in this time warp where he really shouldn't be committed to someone because he just will outlive them by decades. So
that's really interesting because there's so much in time travel. I don't want to say it's overused because that's not for me to say, but there's a lot of novels where people time travel. And that's fine, but that's really interesting. Yeah. Dan, how about you? Anything else that you absolutely want to make sure people know about?
So many good books to choose from, but I'm going to choose.
And if you want to see a picture, by the way, we'll have them later on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and so forth.
I'm going to choose a memoir called Rough Magic, Riding the World's Loneliest Horse Race. It's by Laura Pryor Palmer. And Rough Magic is the story of this woman who decides to compete in the Mongol Derby, which is an infamously difficult and long horse race across 1,000 kilometers of Mongolian wilderness, and she wins. So it's just this great sort of, you're at an impasse in your life and you decide to do something daring and incredible. This has been a real indie bookstore favorite this spring since it's been published. Again, Rough Magic by Laura Pryor Palmer.
How about you, Michael?
Well, I'm going to put aside my own choices, and I'm going to recommend some books that my booksellers would kill me if I didn't mention because I made them write me some emails. Ryan recommends Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik, and she says, this is one of those books that would be perfect to read on a super hot day because it's set in such a frigid, icy landscape, the words themselves will cool you down. It's a twist on the Rumpelstiltskin tale with vicious fairies and delectable magic, and the descriptions will send shivers down your spine. And Kelso from the bookstore recommends On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, which I think is on Dan's list.
That's on a couple lists.
It's
yes.
on a lot of lists.
Right.
You know, it's a beautifully written, it's a novel by a poet, and it shows. It's a beautifully written novel. So,
any books you're looking forward to in the fall? I always ask you guys this at the end of the summer book show. It feels a little unfair because there's so much still on the table for summer reading. But Liz, something that you can't wait for in the fall?
Michael actually just pulled it out. The Anduin Patcha is coming in September, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I'm so excited for that. And they are having an event at Gibson's with her.
Not that there isn't enough to read for the summer that you could last you until next summer. But yeah, how about you, Dan?
Ann Patchett's one of our independent bookselling crowd. She also owns a store in Nashville. So that's an important book. And we did mention the Malcolm Gladwell that's coming out this fall.
Sure.
And I think there's an event that NHPR is connected with Gladwell in Portsmouth this fall.
Great.
Yeah, here's a book that's coming out from Rick Russo in August. Chances Are. It's a novel about three guys who get together and try to figure out what happened to a young woman they knew when they were younger. And here's a book that's not coming out till January, but it's a real buzz book now called American Dirt by Janine Cummins. And it's the new girl with the dragon tattoo set in the narco world in Mexico.
Okay. So, lots to look forward to, lots to read. Check out the website later today, nhpr.org/exchange, for all the books that were mentioned this hour and our guests' picks. Happy summer. I hope the weather is... improves, and we have a real summer, great for summer reading. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.